Good morning for Bill Lynch. This is Frank Settapani with the CBS World News Roundup. Many of those who lost loved ones in the Oklahoma City bombing are back in Denver, where Terry Nichols is due to stand trial for his alleged role in the attack. For Janie Coverdale, the trip brought back bitter memories.
It was almost like going back into hell.
Al Freeman begins our team coverage of the Nichols trial live from Denver.
It's generally acknowledged, Frank, this case is not as cut and dry as Timothy McVeigh's was, but prosecutors say they can prove Terry Nichols conspired with McVeigh, buying and stealing explosive materials and building the bomb itself. Not so, insists Nichols' chief attorney, Michael Tiger.
Tim McVeigh used Terry Nichols in much the same way that he used others.
Tiger says his client wanted out of any involvement he may have had with McVeigh. And during a nine-hour FBI interview, Nichols is said to have tried to escape blame by fingering McVeigh. In an interview with CBS News correspondent Dan Rather, Nichols' wife, Mara Faye, acknowledges the two men were friends.
I was kind of happy for him that at least he has a friend that, you know, that he can get along with and that they have the same interest in life.
And correspondent Rather learned that Mrs. Nichols was afforded some very unusual treatment.
Once the bombing took place, once Terry Nichols became a suspect, she and her child were taken to a local police station, and for 37 days she was in, quote, protective custody. That rarely happens in America anymore.
While a number of relatives of bomb victims are returning here for the second trial, most will watch from afar as we hear from CBS newsman Jim Krasula in Oklahoma City.
Al, many people here say Terry Nichols' trial will be easier on them emotionally since they've already gone through McVeigh's case. Tom Kite lost his stepdaughter in the April 1995 bombing. Many share his view of Nichols.
He, in some ways, is more guilty than McVeigh because he knew about it. And if he did decide not to participate, he's like Lori Fortier. All they had to do was make a phone call, and we'd have 168 people still alive.
There's a feeling here that regardless of what happens in Nichols' trial, justice was served with McVeigh's conviction.
Newsman Jim Krasula in Oklahoma City. The jury selection process, which begins an hour from now, is likely to take longer than it did in the McVeigh proceeding, as defense attorneys want to ensure jurors do not have preconceived notions about Terry Nichols, or that if they do, they're able to put them aside. Al Freeman, CBS News, live at the federal courthouse in Denver.
A short circuit in a motorhome's electrical system is blamed for starting the wildfire that ate through 6,000 acres in California's Sierra Nevada foothills, 40 miles north of Sacramento. Connie Smith couldn't believe her eyes when she returned to see what the flames had done to the town of Oregon House.
This was a mobile home and a house right there, and it's gone. Oh, my gosh. There's the restaurant. It's gone. She just opened that restaurant, and there's the wrecking yard. All these cars exploded. The gasoline sounded like we were getting bombed.
Businessman Joe Cardozo was wiped out.
I lost my towing company, auto dismantling, my restaurant that I lease out, and we lost our homes.
As many as 100 homes may have been destroyed. Neighbors in Lowell, Massachusetts, were stunned by the weekend murders of a woman and her two young sons, allegedly at the hands of the boyfriend who fathered one of the sons and was married to a second woman who lived 15 miles away.
I was just, like, shocked. I didn't know what to do. These things happen, like, in Boston or whatever, you know? They don't happen around here.
It's very scary for all the neighbors. We just can't believe it.
Police say Air National Guard Technical Sergeant Peter Contos, who turned himself in, apparently managed to keep his double life a secret from both women. Police withheld details of the killings and offered no motive, but did say Contos had no history of domestic violence. MIT has suspended the Phi Gamma Delta fraternity after a freshman pledge was hospitalized in an alcohol-induced coma.
It's being investigated. We want to find out what happened. We're not beginning with the assumption that it was a hazing incident. But we do want to find out what happened. If the hazing was involved, we want to know that.
Associate Dean Robert Randolph admits that heavy drinking is no stranger on the MIT campus.
It's a problem. You know that. We know that. And we work hard at it. Obviously, in a situation like this, we haven't worked hard enough.
18-year-old Scott Krueger's mother says freshmen attending a fraternity party were told they had to drink a certain amount of alcohol. Newsweek magazine says the IRS has responded to charges of heavy-handed tactics by its agents by suspending several district-level managers. An Internal Revenue Service memo is said to show how managers apparently ignored the law and judged workers by the amount of money they brought in. President Clinton and Vice President Gore may not be eager to go into sales when they decide to leave politics. Documents examined by the New York Times show the controversial fundraising calls they made fell far short of the amounts Democratic Party officials hoped to take in. It's 5 past.
KMX 1070 News Radio.
Okay, this is for all you been-there, flown-that, international business travel types. Every airline, and I mean every airline, talks about how warm and friendly their in-flight personnel are. A country with a reputation for cold, haughty arrogance will try to convince you that their people are actually civil. While here in L.A., we know for a fact that anything much past,
"Hi, my name is John, I'll be your wait person tonight,"
is no man's land, friendliness-wise. But Malaysia Airlines is different, mainly because Malaysia is different. People come back from Malaysia stunned by the niceness. They almost feel like spending a week in New York just to balance it out. So while Malaysia Airlines' fleet of 747s is truly world-class, with comforts that rank among the world's best, what takes them to a higher level is the sheer niceness that comes free of charge with every flight. Malaysia Airlines flies to Kuala Lumpur 6 days a week from LAX and over 110 cities worldwide. Call your travel agent or Malaysia Airlines and have a nice day.
Secretary of State Albright is set to meet with Israeli and Palestinian diplomats, but as CBS News correspondent Jesse Schulman reports from Tel Aviv, it's not much more than a chance for the two sides to dip their toes in the water of peace.
These are billed as peace talks, but they're talks on side issues. This is not talking about the future of the Middle East, so this is really not yet a sign that the peace process is back on track.
Albright hopes the meeting she hosts in New York will lead to direct negotiations. What would happen if Russian gangsters were to team up with Colombian drug lords? CBS News correspondent Dan Revive is live with some answers.
Frank, it's happening, according to recently retired FBI investigator Jim Moody and others. He says Russian mobsters sought profit by selling weapons to the Colombian drug cartels.
Some of this military equipment was being sold by the government. And then you'd have intermediaries that maybe purchased it from the government and then sell it to somebody else.
The Washington Post says Russians in the United States have sold 2 combat helicopters to drug lords in Colombia, while cocaine and other drugs are sold in the former Soviet Union. Moody says many Russian gangs are based here. Dan Revive, CBS News, live in Miami.
What doesn't kill you is supposed to make you stronger, and that was apparently the case with Michael Fold, now safely ensconced in the space shuttle Atlantis, after 4.5 months of one problem after another on Russia's Mir space station.
They were new problems, they were unexpected, and they were very interesting in the way we solved them. And I learned far more in recovering from those things than if I had just had a steady, constant science program to execute.
Atlantis is scheduled to undock from Mir Friday, leaving David Wolf to pick up where Fole left off. The two crews will spend time today unloading equipment from Atlantis. The government says August personal income rose a healthy 0.6%, but a lot of that extra money went to pay taxes and pad savings accounts, and consumer spending grew only half as fast as income. It's 8 past.
You're hearing news on KNX 1070.
Honey,
yeah?
Have you called Edison yet to recycle our spare refrigerator? Oh, luckily there's still time.
Oh.
Yep, there's still time to save about $150 a year in wasted energy costs and get a $25 check or a $50 savings bond or a fantastic cooler. All from Edison, just for recycling our spare refrigerator.
No kidding.
Well, your old bachelor refrigerator probably doesn't even qualify.
No, whoa. Just
what?
A darn minute here. It qualifies like crazy.
Prove it. Do you and your refrigerator live in Edison territory?
We do.
Is it between 10 and 25 cubic feet?
It is.
Does it work?
It does.
Have you been using it along with our primary refrigerator for the last 6 months?
You betcha.
Can you dial 1-800-234-9722?
Just watch me.
Coolers available while supplies last and some restrictions apply. So call 1-800-234-9722 today.
Hello, Edison? Do I have a refrigerator for you?
Edison, the power behind peace of mind.
The book that blew the lid off Buckingham Palace was apparently an inside story. CBS News correspondent Adam Rayfield has that.
Diana, Her True Story, the book that first broke the news of her unhappy life, was really an autobiography based on hours of interviews with the princess herself. So says the Times newspaper, though editor Peter Stoddard says she never actually met the author.
A great deal of subterfuge of one sort or another had to be gone through in order that she could get her message out.
The book is being re-released this week as Diana in her own words. Buckingham Palace condemned that as sad so soon after her death. Adam Rayfield, CBS News, London.
The ghost of Roger Maris can rest peacefully. Mark McGwire and Ken Griffey Jr. failed to break the Maris single-season home run record of 61. McGwire hit his 58th yesterday. Griffey ended his season with 56. On Wall Street, stocks opened mixed. The Dow Industrials now are down about 20 points. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Frank Settapany, CBS News.